Oh my goodness, it's Tuesday, our favorite day of the week around here, because Eric Meehan comes to see us from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company to share wisdom and wine with Message in the Bottle. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to get my my headphones here. I got to do what all those guys on air do. They bring their own headphones. This thing, whatever. Anyway, I know how my voice sounds. I'll just pretend it sounds glorious in my ears.
It sounds pretty glorious in mine.
Perfect. So, hey, everybody. Yeah, it's Tuesday, Message in the Bottle time. I was looking over my notes from the past couple of years on what I typically do on this day. And I do a bunch of different stuff, so I'm going to try to cram a couple different topics into today, which are all going to fall under this umbrella of we're all kind of stuck here. It's I don't know what it's going to do tomorrow. It's going to be very mainy tomorrow. It
yes.
sounds like it's going to somehow be raining when it's sub-zero temperatures. I thought I learned all about science in school. It turns out I learned nothing.
Well, we defy science.
That's correct. Well, yes. we're living in that day and age where we're able to see things that we never thought would be possible, including...
You know, people in power tell us science isn't real anyway.
Well, it's fake, but the people in Chicago right now are colder than the penguins.
Yes.
So that's... oh, by the way, penguins, I'm sorry my devils beat you. That was a non sequitur, but it did remind me. That's a bummer. Any day that my boys beat the penguins is a glorious day. So yeah, we're going to talk about ways that we here in Maine, you know, right now and in the coming months can go out and you know, learn about this thing called wine that we love so much. A couple great ways to do that. And certainly one of my favorite ways to learn anything during these colder months, especially when we are blessed with an actual, you know, snowfall, something nice you can sit by a window, watch the snow falling, curl up, let the cat curl up on your lap, and read something. I love reading. I don't get a chance to do it nearly as much as I used to, and I'm very happy to see that my children have taken on that love as well. So we actually do find ourselves with moments of quietude, which is a brilliant mm-hmm. thing. New book that I'm reading on wine, which I absolutely love. I went out to the members of my wine club last month. It is called Godforsaken Grapes. It was just produced, pushed out, published last year by a guy named Jason Wilson. The subtitle of this is A Slightly Tipsy Journey Through the World of Strange, Obscure, and Underappreciated Wines. Fun guy, writes kind of like I write, you know, sort of irreverently. It's always awkward to read someone who kind of writes like you write because you're sitting there thinking, wow, this guy's a... He's pretty hard into the geekdom, and boy, I must sound like that sometimes too. But it's really it's a great book. It's fun. It's not complicated, but it really makes you start to think about, you know, in this age of homogenized society, we're trying to recapture all these lost items, heirloom apples and beef and things like that. But there's still 80% of the world's wines are made from 20 grapes, and really only just a couple of those, if you really think about it. Your Cabs, Merlots, and Chardonnay account for just a hideous amount of the wine that's made in the world. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily in terms of quality, but gosh, there's an awful lot of things. There's over 1,300 recognized varietals, and we make wine out of 20 of them, you know? So really, it's a fun book. Go out and then, you know, pop on into your favorite wine merchant and say, hey, you know, and the they might have none of the grapes that you're thinking of, but they might have some also completely different that he doesn't mention in the book, because there's 1,300 grapes to mention. 1,348 grapes. So there's 1,328 that we can still talk about.
Fantastic.
It's nice to know that there's always stuff out there to learn, new taste experiences. I think that's really what it's about. Other books that I really like, that I always like to mention when I'm talking about these things, of course, my favorite for just sheer readability is Kermit Lynch's Adventures on the Wine Route. It really defines what I do and what a lot of the importers who I work with do. This guy, I mean, it's a great little read about the guy who basically originally went around France and convinced these old school men and women to let him bring to us pathetic Americans their wine. And how he did it, and his wonderful anecdotes in there. The book I learned on, Wine for Dummies, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's really fantastic, by Ed McCarthy and Mary Ewing Mulligan. I owe so much of my knowledge to that book, and I had to really cram it into my brain because I started to work for a very, very intelligent and knowledgeable man, and he needed to know that we were doing our homework. So that's what I learned on. And then, of course, for anybody who's a sort of a visual learner and likes to look at maps, I love to look at maps. The World Atlas of Wine by Hugh Johnson and Jancis Robinson. By the way, anything you see by Hugh Johnson or Jancis Robinson, both masters of wine, both incredibly prolific authors. Jancis Robinson, actually one of the co-authors on that book about the different wine varietals. But fantastic, breaks down all these regions. And now with each subsequent new edition, I believe they're on their 7th right now, probably coming out with their 8th very soon, you're starting to see more information on Eastern Europe, on the Mediterranean, on China, on places in the North Americas that you don't see. And also in the South Americas. I had a wonderful conversation with a couple from Uruguay who were in the shop today, and we've sipped on some Uruguayan wine on this very program. So a great book, The World Atlas of Wine, that will lay these regions out for you in a very, very easy and easy to understand way. Really tremendous book. The second way I want to talk about learning is the way we all really kind of initially learn about stuff, right? It's the thank God Al Gore invented the internet. It's there. It's full of absolute misinformation and tons of stuff that are going to, you know, and every publication ever has done articles about wine, and some of them are written by people who admit they're novices. Some of them are written by people who are complete novices but pretend they're not, and so forth. And there, you know, ranges the whole gamut. But it, definitely for anybody from novice to expert alike, Wine Folly is a fantastic site. Go there. It'll teach you all about obscure varietals, regions, help you pair wines. It's a really, really a great little resource. Another one, obviously it's, you know, for more people who are kind of looking for higher end wines, more collectible wines, and kind of more into the lifestyle of it, but Wine Spectator, both the website and then also the magazine, which you can basically get for nothing these days, is a very good resource for ratings, for information like that, and also for just kind of, you know, learning what the canon stuff is out there, because, you know, geeks like myself can inundate you, but kind of going back to, you know, what made the great estates great, they still do interesting articles on that. And then also vinepair.com, VINEPAIR.com, VinePair. Also great, timely articles, fun. It's intelligent stuff without being too heady. But as I, you know, it just comes with the admonition, you know, everything on the internet is obviously true, so believe all of it. All right.
It's fantastic to know.
Isn't it? It's convenient. It's convenient. It's much easier than fake news. It's all true.
Everything's
true. The last way, the third way that I want to talk about before we run out of time is get in the car, dear. We're blessed, even in Maine, with wineries from places that have, you know, nice little trite fruit wines to places that are very, very serious about planting hybrid varietals, growing them and making, you know, really, really fine wines that are going to stand the test of time, and everything in between. So if you are curious, start at the mainewineryguild.com. mainewineryguild.com/main-wine-trail map, the Maine Wine Trail. And it will, it's wonderful. I speak to people every summer, especially, who get in the car and just hang out and go to various tasting rooms and learn all about what Maine has to offer. So I would definitely recommend you do that. You're going to learn a lot about the hybrid varietals that are growing right now. And we'll talk more about hybrid varietals at another time on the program. But really some interesting stuff that you're going to start to experience more and more. I think you're going to see more and more viticulture happening up here in Maine. So get yourself acquainted with what's going on. Speaking of which, the wine we're drinking today is the Bleuet Charmat method, which is the same way you make Prosecco. But Bleuet is a project by a guy named Michael Therrien, who is a California winemaker. And they make a champagne style every July 4th. And then the Charmat method, which is also sparkling, just a different bubble style, basically. That they make year round. Absolutely wonderful Maine made product, all Maine blueberries, and fantastic dry really flavorful. What do you think? Good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The aroma alone, as soon as you open that bottle, like, hello.
It's tremendous. It's a nice way of enjoying Maine's own blueberry product, because of course we do blueberries perhaps better than we do grapes. So lots of things I want to mention. I am running out of time, but so many things going on. So let's go through them. First of all, in February, we have February 15th, we have our Galentine's Day event. We are sharing the hosting duties with the Be Me Boutique, which features Paisley Ray Couture. That is going to be a trunk show, so come out and try on those. And then we will be pouring some wonderful romantic-themed wines, including a fantastic Pinot Noir Rosé that I just tried the other day that we're going to be bringing in called Love Drunk, which is made by Mouton Noir Wines. Really cool guy named Andre Mack, who used to be the sommelier at Per Se in New York. And if you know Thomas Keller's Per Se, it's no joke. So a good wine to try. So come out on the 15th for that. Our monthly tasting will be the 21st from 5 to 7. And then, of course, I am still mentioning in March the 20th, we have the History in the Bottle in Evening with Chateau Mussard. Tickets are $30 each. We are selling them quickly, so if you are interested, do get in on that. It will be a presentation by Elizabeth George of Broadbent Selections, which is Chateau Mussard's importer, and we are also going to be having wonderful Lebanese cuisine provided by Mediterranean Cuisine by TS. And that is going to be, I mean, Mussard is absolutely one of the last important wineries in the world, folks. Come out and check it out if you care about history, if you care about wine, if you care about just cool things. It's going to be worth it. And then the next day, the 21st, for free, we will be having Miss George as our guest at our regular monthly wine tasting. We'll be trying some of the other offerings of Mussard as well. So it should be a lot of fun. Again, that one will be free and open to the public, as all of our monthly tastings are. So I do hope that you can come into any or all of those and just come into the shop when you need good bottle of wine.
Fantastic. Bangor right. Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. By the way, Eric picks the Patriots by 2. I do. Putting it out there.
Yeah. If it were the Giants, of course, I'd be picking... I'd still pick the Patriots, but I'd be delighted when the Giants would win for a third time. But as it is the Rams... Sorry, Sean.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Eric. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.